The ultimate gospel experience
is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of Praise 107.9 or its parent company, Delmarva Educational Association.
Thank you for joining Truth and Love Ministries, where we exist to connect people to God, to connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. Connect with us on Facebook at Truth and Love Jax, or visit us on the web at truthandlove.tv, where you will also find our weekly broadcast. On the go and want to know what's going on at Truth and Love? Simply visit your mobile app store and download the Truth and Love app and get information on services, events, and even messages right at your fingertips. Tune in now, where the message is already in progress.
Whatever it is you have, as we continue to walk through this gospel according to St. Mark. If you got your study notes, grab your pen. You're going to need a pen. We just believe in studying the Bible. We believe in studying the Bible. We just believe in studying the Bible, studying the Word of God. Just believe in just being all that God wants us to be. And so we're just walking through the Word of God. We're in Mark chapter 14. This is our Mark series, and it's something that I've been wanting to really for you to get down in your soul, get down in your spirit. It is that Jesus' life was marked by service, suffering, and sacrifice. And those are the three things that our lives should be marked by as well. Should be marked by service, should be marked by suffering, and should be marked by sacrifice. If I'm a follower of Christ, which prayerfully we are, if you're not, you can be by the time we're done. All of us, our lives should be marked by these three things, by service, by suffering, and by sacrifice. We've been walking through this, and Jesus is literally heading to the cross. He's standing in the shadow of the cross. His entire life really was shadowed in the cross. Jesus was, in a real sense, in a true sense, he was born to die. The entire reason why he was born into this world was not to work miracles and signs and wonders. All that stuff happened because it was here. We're grateful for his teaching and his preaching that was authoritative and revolutionary. But it is the word of God that instructed us that he came to give his life a ransom for you and I. That's why he came. He was born to die. And he's been in this final week of his life. This final week of his life is something that we call what? Passion Week. This is Passion Week. This is the final week of our Lord and Savior. And here he came into Jerusalem on a colt, on a donkey. And because of this, he had hundreds of thousands of people that were following him and calling out his name and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. But it just didn't stop there, because the very next day he went and he cleansed the temple. And now Jesus is winding down, literally just a few days away. And now he's getting ready to give his life for you and I. Let's pick up where Mark leaves off in Mark chapter 14, verse 1. Let's look what the Bible says. It says, it was now 2 days before Passover. How many days? It was 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest him by stealth and kill him. Let's look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, For they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar from the people. So they're literally plotting. They're literally scheming. They're doing all that they can to try to catch Jesus to the point to where they want to kill him. They've been wanting to plot. They've been wanting to kill him from the very beginning. These are the religious people. These are the people that's supposed to stand in proxy of God and the people. They're the ones that's supposed to be the go-between. They're the teachers of the law. They're the teachers, the handlers of the word of God and the law. And also we'll see some other religious groups in here in a moment, but they're literally not trying to grab a hold of the message of Jesus Christ, but they're trying to trap him. Verse 1 says they want to arrest him, and they want to do it in stealth. They want to do it in secret. And not only do they want to arrest him and do it in secret, they want to kill him. They want to destroy him. Why do they want to destroy him? They want to destroy Jesus because of all of his authority. Because the people, their hearts and their minds are going after Christ. They love Jesus, literally. They love the fish and the loaves. They love the miracles. But the crowd, he has a whole lot of influence. And the religious leaders, they don't like that too hot. They don't like that too hot. That all these people are trying to get him. But verse 2 tells us that they want to do this, but they did not want to do it during the feast. They didn't want to do it during the Passover. This is very key. This is very essential. They didn't want to do it during the Passover. They wanted to do it, but they wanted to do it according to their timetable. They wanted to do it. They didn't want to do it during the Passover because they didn't want a riot from the people. They got this thing in their heart and they're plotting, they're scheming. But in a real sense, there's a star in verse number 1, and there's a star in verse number 2 that's not named. He's not named. He's not mentioned. But there's someone behind the scenes, and his name is God. God, the enemy is scheming. The enemy is plotting, and they have a certain timetable, but God is behind the scene and God has another plan. These religious leaders, they were a trip, and it really started early in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus was in the temple, in the synagogue, and there was a man with a withered hand, and it was the Sabbath, and the Bible says they stood trying to see if Jesus was going to heal him on the Sabbath. You know, Jesus was cold-blooded, and Jesus went right ahead on and did what they thought he was going to do and heal this brother. And let's see the results of this. Results of this in Mark chapter 3 verse 6. It said the Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians. The Herodians against him to do what? How to destroy him. So this early in the ministry of Jesus, and you'll see this when we're studying the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John all together, you'll see different instances, different times when they wanted to grab Jesus. They wanted to kill him. And first time he was in Nazareth, he went into the temple. In Luke chapter 4, the Bible says that the temple assistant handed him a scroll, and he handed him the scroll of Isaiah 61, and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to set at liberty them to bruise, the preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And Jesus told them, he said, "Today these scriptures are fulfilled in your ears." You think they raised Jesus an offering? No, they didn't raise them an offering. You think they ran around the church? They didn't run around the church. The Bible said they tried to grab him and throw him headlong over the cliff. They wanted to kill Jesus because of his teaching and his preaching. So, but the Bible said Jesus, he maneuvered his way through the crowd and they got away. They had been trying to kill him for a long time, but they could not do it. So now the moment has come. Now the time has come. And now the religious leaders, they're coming together and they're doing all that they can to make this happen. Look at what happened in Matthew 26 and 3. This is real. This is scandalicious, y'all. This is real scandalicious right here. Look at it. Look at how scandalicious this is. It says, "And Olivia Pope." No, it don't say that. It says, and at the same time, the leading priests and elders were meeting at the residence of Caiaphas, the high priest. They're meeting at the high priest's house. They're not coming over there for a potluck. They're not trying to have a prayer meeting. They're not having a Bible band. But no, they're coming literally to try to plot and to scheme to try to get Jesus. Let's see what happened. Look at John chapter 11, verse 47. John lets us know what had happened was. You know, every good story starts with a "see what had happened was." And so John tells us what had happened was right here in John 11, 47. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs what? Many signs." Verse 48, it says, "If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." Listen to their thinking, because they first and foremost, the Jewish mindset was their Messiah, their deliverer was coming, and he was coming to overthrow the oppressor. At the time, they were literally slaves under the Roman government, and here they thought their Messiah was going to come and to deliver them. But Jesus was not coming to be a political giant. He was not coming to be king, an earthly king, but no, he was coming to establish a different type of kingdom. And here, they didn't really want all these people that's following Jesus. They say Rome gonna catch wind of this, and they gonna think we're trying to do some kind of insurrection to be able to overthrow the government. And here they said, we don't want that to happen. Look what they go on to say in verse 49. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was a high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all. Y'all don't know what y'all talking about. Look what Caiaphas said. He said, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man, listen this closely, that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. Verse 51, he did not say this of his own accord, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. Verse 52, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one of the children, gather into one of the children of God who are scattered abroad. This wicked, corrupt leader was moved on by the Spirit of God and prophesied truth. Y'all missing this wicked and corrupt leader. Y'all reading the same Bible I'm reading? It's the high priest. They meet at his house, not to have a Bible band, not to have a prayer meeting, not to try to, no, they're trying to plot and kill Jesus. And the Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord moved upon him and he prophesied truth. So this lets me know that I shouldn't get so happy because the Lord used me. Come on here. Just because, can I tell you that the Lord will use you? Oh, God is the only boss that'll fire you and let you keep on working. Come on here, somebody. He's the only one let you keep on working, and you not even know. You stand in the window waiting on your check. Come on here. And say, ain't no gonna be no check. No, he's the only one. So my point is that he'll use a donkey if he have to. He'll use anything that he need. But the Bible said because he was the priest, so here, because he was in this sacred office. Here you had a corrupt person in a sacred office, and God still moved on this man. Good God, you gotta be careful bothering people who are in a particular office. You don't got to agree with the officer, but you got to respect the office. Y'all ain't gonna help me here. You got to learn how, y'all ain't help me. You got to learn how to respect the office. You may not agree with what everything is said and what's going on, but you got to learn how to respect the office. They're trying to kill Jesus. Hey, man, you don't know what you're talking about. Man, one man, we need to get rid of this one man, that the whole nation don't be destroyed. They're trying to do this, and they're trying to do it on their own one accord. But the one day they didn't want to do it, what day they didn't want to do it on? The Passover. I got one person that's listening. They did not want to do it on the Passover. And this lets me know that kingdom ministry, do you have your study notes? So you just listening to me whistling Dixie. Kingdom ministry understands that the crucifixion of Christ was on God's timetable. All of this was a part of his plan. It was on his timetable. The religious leaders wanted to do it. They've been wanting to do it early in Jesus' ministry, but they couldn't get their hand on him. Jesus was elusive. He kept getting away. And then they wanted to do it, but they didn't want to do it on this particular day. But this is the particular day that God had designed for his son to die. Jesus said, Luke 22:22, it said, for the Son of Man goes as it has been what? Determined. But woe to that man whom he is betrayed. He says, somebody's going to betray me. All through Jesus' ministry, he said, the time has not come. My time has not come. But now here, Luke 22:22, it said, now the time has come. It's been determined. It's been prescribed. It's been ordained. I got to go. One particular verse of scripture, I love this. The Bible said Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem because he knew it was his hour. He knew it was his time. He knew that his clock was ticking. And it was time for him to do what God wanted him to do. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 23. It said, this Jesus, which Jesus? This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. God is the one that delivered Jesus up. So who killed Jesus? Was it the religious leaders? Was it the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians? Was it the Essenes and the different religious sects? Or can I tell you, it was God that killed Jesus. Oh my God. Yes, it was God. Is God is the one. God was the hitman. He's the one that ordained that his son should die. You know why he ordained his son to die? He ordained his son to die so I didn't have to die, so you didn't have to die, so we didn't have to die. My God, I thought if I said that in a Christian church, I thought y'all would look a little bit better than that. Here he killed his son so he don't have to kill me. Yeah, he did. Acts 2:23, it says he delivered him up. Look what Peter, Peter, pumpkin eater, the one that was hiding for his life, and now he got a dose of the Holy Ghost. Now he all bold and bad. He said, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless man. Look, Jesus knew this. God knew this. Every time Jesus was teaching and preaching, we walked through all this through the Gospel of Mark. Y'all been walking with us. We've been walking through this. We've been talking about this. We've been studying it. This didn't catch God off guard. And this didn't catch Jesus off guard. Look what Jesus said about the matter in Mark 8:31. Anybody mad about Bible study? We're just studying the Bible. Y'all good? Mark 8:31, it says, and he began to teach them. Not how to Dougie. No, he began to teach them how to study. The study. Study the word of God. He said, teach me how to study. Just teach me how to study. Look, it said, and he began to teach them. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer how many things? Many things. And be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. Mark 9:31. For he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, the Son of Man is going to be what? Delivered into the hands of men. And they will what? Kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. Look, Mark 10:33. We studied all this. It says, saying, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to what? Death, and deliver him over to the Gentiles. He even veiled what he was trying to say, even in the parable in Mark 12:7. It says, but those tenants said to one another, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. Jesus had told them 4 times, according to Mark, that he has to die. He knew that he had to die. You're a bad man when you can predict how you're going to die, the way you're going to die, when you're going to die, and what's going to happen after you die. You're a bad man if you can tell somebody what's going to happen. He's either Josh McDowell, a theologian, an apologetic. He don't apologize. No, he defends the faith. That's what apologetics mean. He defends the faith. He said Jesus either was a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. Come on here, somebody. Because he said, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it. He got to be a liar if it didn't happen. He either got to be gone cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, a lunatic, if it didn't happen. But if he said what was going to happen and it happened, that means he's Lord. Come on here. And I heard Paul say, every knee must bow, every tongue must confess that he is. It is Lord, and he's over. He's King of Kings. Lord over all. Here Jesus said he's going to die. The kingdom ministry understands that the crucifixion was a part of God's timetable. God wanted his son to die on the Passover. You went to Sunday school, you know what the Passover was about. Passover, when they were down in Egypt and they were about to be delivered on that next day, the Bible says that they ate all of the lamb, and not only did they eat the lamb and all of the pertinence, they put the blood over the doorposts of their home. So when the death angel came to kill all of the firstborn, the home that had the blood over it, the death angel would pass over that home. My God, I want to know that do you got the blood over your doorpost? I want to know that when the death angel come, will it pass over you? What am I telling you? That God wanted him to die on the Passover. Did you know this? That here we don't know the day. We don't know the day that Jesus was born. We don't know that. I taught y'all this during the time we were studying his birth. We don't know. We say it's December 25th. Can I tell you? It's not December 25th. Don't you throw nothing at me. I'm telling you, that's not his birthday. I'm trying to tell you, that's not his birthday. He was here. I mean, just so many things. I ain't got time to go through that. You should have been here when we talked about it. Can I tell you, that's not his birthday? But the point is that it doesn't matter. It don't matter when I was born. They told me I was born July 19th, but I don't remember. They told me I was born at University Hospital, but the hospital's not even there anymore. So I don't know when I was born. I could have been born January the 1st, February the 2nd. I could have been born December 30th. I don't remember. Come on here. My mama didn't have no little brain child. smile away. I say, oh, nice to be here, lady. Can I have a bottle? Can I have a bottle? Wah. Come on. Wah. No, I'm not. I want no brain. I don't remember nothing. If you remember when you was born, then you need to holler at your boy because you need to give me some money. I mean, what I'm saying, it don't matter. Wah. It don't matter. It don't matter. It don't matter when I was born. The fact is, I'm about to cry. Can I have a bottle, please, ma'am? Listen. I gotta go. I got time to play. I gotta go. I got time to play. Look. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when he was born. The fact is, he was born. But we do know the date that Jesus died. Listen to this. He was crucified. Mark says there was 2 days before the what? The Passover. 2 days before the Passover. So he's going to die on that Friday, which is the Passover. The Passover. Here, Jesus died on the Passover, literally right around the same time that they were killing the Passover lambs. All right, the Bible says that he hung on the cross for six hours from 9 a.m. to 3 o'clock p.m. From the 6th to the 9th hour, there was a gross darkness. It was dark, and Jesus died at 3 o'clock. That's right around the time that they would kill the Passover lambs. God is the one that orchestrated that. God is the divine designer, that where he want his son to die at the same time they were killing the Passover lamb, to let you and I know that I don't got to kill no more lambs. I don't got to kill no more bulls. I don't got to kill no more turtle dove. Oh, no. But he died in the place, my God. He died in the place of me and died in the place of all that other stuff. So kingdom ministry understands the substitutionary death of Christ. Substitute. I gave that to you. It's a $4 word. It just means that Jesus took my place. He took my place. Come on, you went to school when you had a substitute teacher. You, when you walked in there, you knew you weren't finna do no work. Come on here. I know y'all do a whole lot more than me. I know y'all just say before you say, but I saw a sub. I say, boys, a sub. We've been and turn this classroom out. Yeah, I say it's a sub. We ain't gonna do nothing today. I'm gonna make all airplanes. I'm gonna do spitballs. Where my pencil break? We should play pencil break. Y'all don't know about no pencil break because we had a sub. Y'all don't know about no. They don't know about that pencil. They don't know about that. They don't know about that pencil break. They got Nintendos and all that. Y'all don't know about that little paper football playing field goal. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Y'all don't know nothing about that. That's when we had a substitute. We learned all that stuff when we had a substitute. Spitball face. Look, so the sub took the place. If you're a substitute teacher, I love you. I'm sorry. I love you though, but I just made your job a little bit better. I run into one of my subs all the time. I can't think of his name right now. But he lives in the neighborhood. I run into him all the time. He said, "You say, Lord have mercy. I know. And you're a preacher? I know there's a God somewhere. As bad as I was. But the Bible tells me, we have to understand the substitutionary nature of the death of Jesus Christ. As a substitute teacher took the place of the normal teacher, Christ took the place of the normal sacrifice. And here we should have been in the place of that death. He died so I don't have to die. He lived a life. Good God. Not only did he live a life that I could not live, he died a death that I should have died. He took the place. I gave you a definition trying to tell you what the substitutionary nature is. They simply say this is why the Bible calls him a lamb. This is why it reminds us of the sacrificial aspect, substitutionary aspect of the Levitical sacrifice. Just read that when you get a chance. Jesus was our substitution. He was the lamb. Look at John 1:29. It said the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, what? The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Look at John 1:36. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Jesus was the Lamb. Look what this Ethiopian eunuch was in the desert and he was studying the Word of God. He did not understand the Word. And the Bible said the place that he was reading, Acts chapter 8 verse 32. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a what? A lamb before his shearer he is silent, so he opened not his mouth. 1 Peter 1:19. But with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a Oh, come on here. Like a lamb without blemish or spot. 1 Peter 2:24. He bore our sins in his body. Substitutionary. He took my sin in his body that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. He said, give me your sin and I'm going to give you my righteousness. My God. He said, give me your death and I'm going to give you my eternal life. He took my place. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Yeah, yeah. Look. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It says, cleanse out of the old leaven. I just want the bottom part of the verse. It says, for Christ, our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. My God, when you read the book of Revelation, it's not just the fact that this didn't catch God off guard. It's not just the fact that this catch Jesus, didn't catch him off guard. But Revelation tells us in Revelation 13 and 8, it says he was a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Before there was ever this or that. Before there was ever when or where. God, before the foundation of the world, he killed his son. He allowed his son to die to make provision for us. Y'all not helping me here. I'm trying to tell you that God did not have a plan B, but God had a plan J all the while. Yes, he did. He said, I'm going to send my son that he can bring you back. Man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I'm boring you with the Bible. I'm sorry. It's just the Bible and it makes me happy. I'm sorry. Some of y'all got other stuff make you happy. I just like the Bible. Just like the Bible, y'all. But y'all just like, All right. Look, one more verse and I'm moving. One more verse. Hebrews 7:27. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily. Mm-mm. Talking about Jesus, our high priest. First, for his own sin, he didn't have to offer a sacrifice for his sin. You know why? Because he didn't have any. He didn't have any sin. It says, for those of the people, since he did this once for all, when he offered up himself. Oh, man. I'm trying to tell you. Jesus is a bad man. He said when he was going to die, how he was going to die, how long he was going to stay dead, what he was going to do when he rose again. And not only that, kingdom ministry understands that Jesus was the offering and the offerer. Appreciate you, Dr. Watts. I stayed up all night for that little point right there. And I got one little noonday looked at me like this. And everybody, I said, I know I got it. I just got to set it up better because I know this good. I just got to set it up better. I stayed up all night for that, Ms. Vine. Jesus was the offering and the offerer. That's what it says in the verse in Hebrews 7:25. It says, for since he did this once for all, when he offered up himself, he was the high priest and the sacrifice. He was the sacrifice and the priest. Y'all like help me here. He said, well, I'm going to offer myself up. Yes, sir. Come on here. I'm trying to tell you that he was the offering and the offerer. He was the propitiation. He was the high priest. I'm glad that we got a high priest like Jesus. Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing then we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but know Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let his pass into the heaven. He sat on the right hand of God. Verse 16 said, we can come boldly before the throne of grace and we can obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. Because he was a priest and because he was a sacrifice, he sprinkled his blood on us. And now I can come boldly before the throne of God and I can say, Abba, I belong to you. Y'all don't know nothing about that. I'm sorry. I can say, Abba, Father. Abba. What y'all be listening to? Y'all don't listen to no worship music? I mean, Abba. All right, let me keep going. That was good. If you ain't getting nothing out of that, you might as well go to sleep now. Look. He was the offering and the offerer. Lord have mercy. Look, that's some good stuff right there. That's just the first two verses, y'all. Let me go to verse 3. Verse 3. And while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, he was reclining. Jesus was chilling like a villain. Jesus was maxing and relaxing. Yeah, whatever the Bible says, styling and profiling, right? Jesus was reclining at the table. A woman came with an alabaster flax of ointment of pure, hold the burr, nard. A pure nard. Very costly. and she broke the flask. She broke the flask and poured it over his, my name in the Bible, man. I ain't never saw that. My name, that's my name. Yeah, your name in there, Nari. Your name in there. Look. they're in Bethany. They're at Simon the leper house. And the Bible says, as they're there and they're reclining, I don't let this is just the way they ate. They ate at this way, and that as they custom was. They didn't eat like you and I, where they sit up and they eat food and they do all this stuff. No, they recline and lay back because
they
didn't have TV.
Thank you for listening to Truth and Love Ministries. Located at 1989 Dunn Avenue, Jacksonville, Florida, 32218. Under the loving leadership of Pastors Colby and Camilla Nesbitt. Join us for our Sunday morning worship experience at 9 and 11:15 a.m. We would also love to see you at our Triple Play Thursday, which is our midweek worship experience, kicking off at 12 noon, corporate prayer at 6 p.m., and concluding with a powerful teaching and walk through the Word at 7 p.m. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Truth and Love Jax. For more information, call us at 904-683-9843. Again, 904-683-9843.